Hello, this is Dr. Leo Stouter, and we're here again with another Biology on the Beach. We're here in beautiful Danger Beach. A little cloudy today, but it's okay. Even a cloudy day on the beach is still a good day. We're going to continue with our chemistry talk. We're going to now talk about solvency. This will be chemistry part 3. Hope you're still with us. Now, solvency is going to be a concept that we should talk about. Solvency is going to be the ability to dissolve in water. Something that's going to be very, very solvent is going to be, or have high solvency is going to be something that's going to be able to dissolve in water. And water, as we already said, is a solvent. It's going to be one of the ways we talked about it being a very, very wet. Remember we were talking about wet and wild? Well, I guess we didn't mention it at that time, but it's a good solvent. So most things are going to be able to be dissolved in water. Now, whether or not they are going to be able to actually not come out of solution is another question. For instance, if we were to take salt and put it into water, we get salt water. If we put too much salt in there, though, eventually it would come out of solution. So when it does come out of solution, then at that time, then we can say that it really wasn't totally dissolved in there, right? Now, there are certain substances that are called hydrophilic, and there's other substances called hydrophobic. Now, if we look at the word and we break it down, hydrophilic, we know hydro is going to be relating to water. You know, like hydroponics is where they just use water, they don't use soil to grow plants. And hydrogen, you know, which is part of water. What's another hydro? Oh, hydroplaning. You know, that can happen if, you know, a person goes too fast sometimes when it first starts to rain. And they'll be actually not touching the ground, but they'll be like on this sort of like little thin layer of water. So it's called hydroplaning. Or, you know, whatever, you can think of any other things about water. But hydro means water. Now, philic means love. The guy's name is Philip. He's supposed to be a lover. If you go to Philadelphia, it's a city of brotherly love. So philic means love. Now, phobic means quite the opposite. It means a fear, right? Like arachnophobia, you have a fear of spiders. Or agoraphobia, you have a fear of agoros. No, you have a fear of crowds or something like that. Not sure. But phobic is going to be fearing. So if you're hydrophilic, you're going to be water loving. If you're going to be hydrophobic, you're going to be water-fearing. So in one case, you're going to be embracing water. In the other case, you're going to be repelling water. Sort of like a push-me-pull-you, sort of like a love-hate relationship. So in hydrophilic, we see that we have charged substances that dissolve easily in water. Now, why would charged substances dissolve easily in water? And you say, because water is polar. Very good. Water has a charge. Remember, the water molecule is positive at the hydrogen ends and negative at the oxygen ends. So if we have a substance that has a charge to it, it's going to dissolve very easily in water. But something that's a neutral substance has no charge, it will not dissolve easily in that water. And that neutral substance is going to be a hydrophobic. So even though water is the universal solvent, it's important for metabolic reactions and also for transport of substances because of it being such a good solvent. So when we take a solvent and we dissolve something in it called the solute and the solvent is going to give us a solution. As we said, water is an excellent solvent. A solution is a solvent with something dissolved in it called the solute. So if we have an example would be water and salt, and the solution would be called salt water, good, or seawater. And the solvent would be, good, water. And the solute would be, exactly, the salt. So that would be your typical salt water solution. Now, when we look at the states of water, we already talked about it being denser as a solid. Sorry, less dense as a solid. That's why ice cubes float in water. But what's going on here is temperature. We look at ice, when we touch it, we know it's cold. Why is it cold? Because the molecules have stopped vibrating. They are frozen. They don't have any movement, therefore they don't create any temperature. So it's solid, it's no movement of the water molecules. Therefore it's called cold ice, or 0 degrees centigrade. As we know it by 32 degrees Fahrenheit. But the centigrade scale is so neat because it uses water as its sort of scale. Water molecules don't move, it's zero centigrade. If they move 100%, it's 100%, it's 100 centigrade. So when we look at a gas, we see that the maximum movement of molecules has occurring, so much so that they are pushed apart. So if we get steam, we're going to have it being pushed apart so much, and there's going to be so much energy in that molecule, that's going to be considered 100 degrees centigrade, or 212 degrees Fahrenheit. So if we look at a liquid, liquid's going to be somewhere in the middle between a solid and a gas. Liquid's going to be more movement of the water molecules than a solid, than the ice was, but not as much as a gas. And you'll notice that regular water can take the shape of a container. But it's, if you feel it, it's really not that cold and really not that, it's really not that warm either. So regular water in a bottle would be considered liquid. So as you go from ice to steam, you increase your kinetic or your movement of the molecules. So as you increase the kinetic activity, you increase the movement of the molecules, therefore you increase the heat, as well as you increase the molecular action. So that's really our three states of water. And most things in our world will go through these different states, given if they're frozen or whatever. Now, pH is going to be a concept that's important, and you're fairly familiar with pH already. You know if something's very acidic, if you bite into a lemon, you know that it tastes sour, and that's because of the acidity that's there. So you already know a little bit about pH, and you've heard about it probably in commercials for certain products, usually cosmetic products. You know, it's pH balanced, whatever that means. So pH is going to be a concept we're going to be talking about now, and we're going to look at the power of hydrogen. That's really what pH means. It's a small p, and they give it a big H. The big H is for the symbol hydrogen. So the P is power of hydrogen.